It's the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio.
Raiders bring a blitz. He takes up off the middle, and he's wrapped up from behind. Max Crosby.
Your silver and black home to sound off for over 20 years.
Open at the 35, racing to the 20, 10, touchdown Raiders.
And now, here's JT the Brick.
Out of the gate, welcome to a new week on the flagship of the silver and black, Raider Nation Radio, 920 a.m., and on that glorious Raiders mobile app. Hopefully everybody's doing well today. We have a big show. Today was the first day in pads for the Silver and Black, which we were happy about. A spirited day. If you're following me before the show on X, I put out a video every day as I walk out of there. And all pretty good today. Nothing crazy to report on. Saw a bunch of touchdowns, deep throws. Good rotations with corners on defense. Studied the linebackers today for an extended period of time. The fans are out there in big support. Big support. So good to see the fans out there, and there'll be another fan day again tomorrow. So if you get a chance to come, or if you're in Vegas, you should be going. There's a lot of Raider fans that don't live in Vegas that are going to miss camp, and I wish you would have been at this one because this one's noticeably different. It's really unique, and that's the focus of the monologue, brought to you by Golden Entertainment. They fuel the monologue. 5 to 7, midnight to 2, the best happy hour in town. I was at Sierra Gold at one point over the weekend, having a beverage with a friend of mine who was in town. So we love that. Anytime we can mention Golden Entertainment and PTs, we thank them for their continued support. You know, first day in pads is always interesting. I was talking to James Jones, former Raider receiver who was out here today, doing the Raiders training camp show with Amber Theo Harris. And we were wondering if there'd be a skirmish, a fight, you know, because this what happens when you have the first practice in pads. You know, for weeks leading up to that, everybody has a day or plays better against another guy. And they all say, wait till we get in pads, and I'm going to get you back. Wait till we get in pads. You're not going to be able to run free without me hitting you, and it can get pretty intense. I didn't see any of that today. I just saw a team that really gets along well, a team that knows that they're not screwing around. There's no stupidity here. They're just really focused to come out, stretch, warm up, and go right to their first drills and their first, you know, segment of the practice. Very professional. Not that they weren't very professional in the past, but got to remember, going back to last year in Costa Mesa, the team would have to get on a bus from the West End. They'd have to go to the fields that weren't great. You know, they didn't really have much of a locker room, right? And they didn't have a swimming pool right there. They didn't have their weight room 20 yards away. It just wasn't conducive for great football. I understand why we went to Costa Mesa. The brand of the Raiders is huge in Southern California, but fans weren't allowed to go. Very limited. And they did it, and they did it for the cooling down of the weather and some bonding stuff. And, again, I don't have a problem with that. The practices weren't very good because the offense couldn't get anything going. And as I've reported just what I've seen and talking to others, it really seems like everything is much more focused and faster. The practices are really clean is the word that I would use. There are mistakes. Maybe a player jumps offside or there's a drop ball, which I haven't saw many. But overall, it's just run very effectively. From Pete Carroll, who's run more practices than most in this league, and he just knows how to go from drill to drill what to do. And I'm noticing a calmness in the players really enjoying it. The weather's been pretty easy on them. It hasn't been 112, 115. So when they're practicing before it gets to 100, the weather's nice. There's not a cloud in the sky. The fans are there to pump them up. They're coming from their own locker room, driving their own cars, the veterans to practice. Their families are there, the kids, they have a family section. It's just a better place to be. And Pete Carroll has it gelling well. So, and when I watched today, DeCamrion Richardson and Ja'Corian Bennett and Jeremy Chinn and Christopher Smith II, and I'm watching the linebackers who are trying to get, you know, who's running with the ones and twos. I'm watching this because I think there's going to be a lot of variety with this lineup. I think there's going to be certain plays when Jamal Adams is in on second down on a running play, and he's going to be up near the line of scrimmage to make a tackle. I think there are going to be times where a cornerback might be a starter but is subbed out, possibly for a nickelback, or another safety comes in, because I just think this is going to be a better scenario to coach the players who are specifically better on down and distance. And I wanted to spend some time talking about the linebackers today, because the linebackers are really good and experienced. They just got to be healthy. Remember we had Denzel Perryman a couple of years ago, and we got a couple of good years out of him. It reminds me of this now. Like, these are the linebackers, if you line them up right on the field, and Landon Robertson, you have White on, you know, lined up correctly, they're going to know where the ball is. And they're going to get to the ball, and they're going to tackle well and try to strip the ball. But it comes down to the defensive line. So Adam Schefter reported earlier today on the Pat McAfee show. I'm not going to play it, but he's talking about Christian Wilkins and why he was dropped, and did he allegedly kiss a teammate on the forehead or the head in chest, and did that player report him to the team? I don't know anything about that. That's not, if you're looking for me for that information, I don't know what you've been listening to. I don't do the gossip and this and that and what happened to the player and who's talking crap about a player in the locker room. That has never been my beat. My beat is running a fast-paced radio show and putting Raider fans on the radio live on our YouTube channel at JT the Brick YT. Try to motivate the fans to go to games, and then I analyze the games after they win or lose. That's what I do. I think we do it better than anybody. And we have good people on. Today I have Tashawn Reed, who's going to come on. Mark Anderson's going to come on. And Dan Graziano from ESPN, NFL Insider. Boom, we're done. We got a good show. Got people who go to practice and talk football. I don't get involved in the gossip of Christian Wilkins. But what I can tell you about Christian Wilkins is that nobody that I've talked to in the organization, and I talked to a bunch, no player, no one that I know in the organization cares that he's gone. He's gone. Everybody has moved on like he wasn't there. Now, I like the player. I thought he's a great player. I mean, if he's healthy and he's not off the team and he's not injured, wow, we got a Pro Bowl defensive tackle who can win games. Nobody cares today. Nada. Nobody is talking about Christian Wilkins other than the national media that's looking for something to stir and looking for a story. That's it. So if I was, I would tell you, man, is everybody talking about Christian Wilkins? I'd say, yeah, a couple guys were this or that. Nobody. Nobody. And no one misses him. And no, now, do I think he was a bad teammate in the locker room? I have no idea. I have no idea. Could it be true that he kissed someone on the head in jest, a teammate, and a teammate was offended and went to HR or whatever? I don't know. Maybe that is true. I don't care. He's not here. My 28th year with the team. Players come and go. I care about the players who love football, the players who love the Raiders, and the players who are great, or the players who are trying to become better. That's what I care about. How do the Raiders win games? Christian Wilkins is gone. I wish he wasn't. I wish he never got hurt, and he was a great player. It was like he wasn't even here. And that's unfortunate, because I'm not going to sit here and flip-flop on it. I wanted him to do well. This team needs more Pro Bowlers. We don't have a lot of Pro Bowlers on defense. We don't. And the best teams in football, if you look at the Eagles and the Ravens and the 49ers and the Rams, they have Pro Bowlers on defense. We need to develop them. Pete Carroll has a history of developing them. John Spytek, this is his first run as a GM, but he's been an assistant GM and on teams where players were developed into Pro Bowlers. Because if not, if you can't develop these guys into being Pro Bowlers, then you got to find players from other teams who either were Pro Bowlers or you evaluate them to be better than the players we have on this roster. That's how you run a football team. And Pete Carroll is really good at personnel. He can take a player. I mean, you look at these corners today, and I was talking to Tashawn Reed about it. He'll join us later. And Jacorian Bennett is not tall, like over tall and long, but he looks to be a starter. The other guys who are playing corner are tall and long. Pete Carroll wanted those guys in. He just loves that style of play. The team seems to be, and again, I didn't see this crazy day today. No one threw helmets and threw punches and screamed at each other. But I can tell you that it's getting preached from the defensive side that you got to get to the ball quicker and turn the ball over. Now, we say that every year. And callers call up and say, well, where are we going to see the turnovers? Q Myers told me today, you're going to see the turnovers in the secondary. This secondary is being told to go get the football. When it's in the air, go get the ball. And they're long enough and tall enough to go get the ball and to jump routes and to tip the ball where maybe a ball will pop up and a linebacker will get a pick. But you know, there's not a huge amount to report on other than the Christian Wilkins news. And if I thought it was a good topic for us to sit here and talk about, whatever his behavior was like in his rehab or what he was like, was he a clown? Probably. You know, there are some videos surfacing of him at Clemson acting the fool. But when he was brought in here, other than yelling Raiders into the camera really loud when he signed his contract, I didn't see him around much. And I'm around a lot because he's in the trainer's room or he's going through rehab. I didn't see him around town. You know, where I go to town, I don't see a lot of social media him around. I don't know if Max and him were like blood brothers or not. I could ask Max, but I have a great friendship with Max. I'm not going to ask him about that. It's none of my business. And Max would tell me. I go have a cigar with him. I'm not going to ask Max Crosby, one of the greatest players I ever covered, to give me gossip about a player. For what? I'm not going to tell you his answer. So why do I need to know it? I mean, like, you know what I mean? So if Adam Schefter's reporting on this and McAfee loves the topic and something big comes out of this with his behavior, we'll report on it. But today, I can promise you no one over there at the Intermountain Health Performance Center gave a crap. It's like move on. I say that about media all the time. This is the time of year where guys get let go from sports radio lineups. It happens to all of us in the business. And as Jimmy Iovine once said in the great Dr. Dre documentary, when it happens, you think the world's come to an end. Oh, my God, does everybody know I just lost my job? No one cares anymore. Like, for 2 days, you get roasted on Twitter. People tell you you suck. People say you got passed by. And then they move on. They got to buy groceries, and they got to pay for college, and got to get pick up kids from practice. They don't care. People move on. Our news cycle has moved so fast that my son takes this two-hour show and all he's looking for is 3 40-minute reels. I'm like, well, I don't want you to watch this show for 2 hours. I wouldn't. But I'd like you to see what I'm doing and find the best of it. So when it comes to someone like Christian Wilkins, how do you want to handle this? I was more upset about Devontae because I don't know everything about Christian Wilkins. If something comes out really crazy, I could change my opinion. Devontae Adams wanted out of the Raiders because he said on Quarterback on Netflix, he said that he was getting killed. And he basically threw Jimmy Garoppolo under the bus because Jimmy Garoppolo was throwing him medicine balls. Those are balls over the middle of the field where he could have got decapitated. And Devontae was getting really, really frustrated with that. And because he's one of the great receivers of his era. So Warren Sharp, who's really sharp, tweeted out, Devontae Adams was being killed by Jimmy G in Las Vegas, so he escaped only to have Jimmy G as the current starting quarterback in L.A. So I put out the tweet, how about that? That's it, just how about that? And it currently has 40,000 views. Because Jimmy Garoppolo, who's a good quarterback in this league, he's won 4 playoff games. Derek Carr's won 0, right? I mean, winning playoff games. And Devontae couldn't have got out of here quick enough. Christian Wilkins was just let go. You know, he got too much money and was let go. I don't know what the reasons were, other than I don't think he rehabbed to the best of his ability and probably turned down an opportunity recommended by the Raiders, possibly, don't know this to be true, but possibly get another surgery. Devontae couldn't get out of here quick enough. And over the decades, there have been better players than Devontae Adams. And that's hard to do. That's hard to do. There's been better players than Devontae Adams on bad teams that didn't force themselves out of here. That's a story. And now Devontae's going to have to play with Jimmy G. And I think Stafford will be fine and good to go. His back, you know, just going to be cautious with his back. But Chandler Jones just melted down emotionally, just like Antonio Brown. I mean, we've had some beauties around here, huh, Bobby? We've had some guys who've had, like, really good careers and then saw this pot of gold with the Raiders and took it as good players, and then they just mentally melted down. I don't know if that happened to Christian Wilkins, but he wouldn't be the first who got paid and then put on the silver and black, and then something wacky happened. But I don't know. Let's see if Christian Wilkins can get his life back in order, because he never has to work again. He's got more money than he'll ever need, generational wealth. But I think he'll land somewhere else, and if he can get healthy again and be a really good player in this league. I said the same thing about Devontae. You know, Devontae's a hell of a player. I love watching him play. He landed with a good team with the Rams, but part of Devontae's legacy is he claimed he wanted to be a Raider. He left the Raiders, and he left the Raiders on purpose, his choice. And then he goes to the Jets. That was a mess, part of his legacy. Now he's ended up with the Rams. And the only thing that can screw up Devontae going forward is if Jimmy G is his starting quarterback. You want to talk about karma. I don't get into karma much. If you start believing in karma all the time, just be a good person in life and things will work out well. So I don't got anything to sell. A lot of people are in my chat. We got 400 people on YouTube and Twitter combined are asking me, JT, what do you know about Christian Wilkins? Nothing. I went to practice today with my notes. I'm going to be calling the game play by play, and I got a lot of work to do. And I tried to look at, you know, who was out there, who are the ones and the twos, who's some of the players I'm going to be calling their names, and that's it. But no one's talking about Christian Wilkins out there. Today, our alumni, as we look back on the most influential Raiders of all time drafted by the Raiders, is Dave Dalby. So we are excited about that. He continued the chain of Jim Otto, Dave Dalby. We, the Raider Nation, arguably had the greatest run of the center position over 20 years still to this day. From Otto to Dalby, and then what's gone on after that? There's been really good centers on this team, historically. Really good centers. And I think we have one now with Jackson Powers Johnson. He has the ability to be super special. I mean, he could be a big-time player. To the level that he could be a multiple Pro Bowler. When I see Jackson Powers Johnson, and there's a lot of people said, why is he working with the twos? I don't know. There might be real competition there with Jordan Meredith, but I think he's just working with the twos in case he has to. He works a little with Aiden O'Connell, works with Geno, you know, give him reps with both sides because he's a really good player. And Colt Miller hasn't been to a Pro Bowl yet, like a pure Pro Bowl. Jackson Powers Johnson, I think both can go. And then I wanted to mention DJ Glaze today because last year at this time, it might have been the same day, ballpark, same week, that DJ Glaze got a lot of praise because Tom Telesco said at practice, man, he did well against Max. And then everyone was like, ooh, is Max going to like that? Ooh, you're going to piss off Max. No, you didn't. Max is elite. If DJ Glaze went toe-to-toe with him for a practice, that's a good thing. We need that. And today I watched DJ Glaze in the offensive line go up against Max. Max has an advantage over all of them. There are a couple of plays, 11-on-11, where Max got to the backfield and just clapped. He slaps his hands pretty much telling everybody, I got him. Even though the ball comes out caught or not, Max is like, no, that was the sack. And Max like does this loop where he loops around so the crowd could see him. You're going to get beat going up against Max Crosby. But DJ Glaze is a mountain of a man. And he's just getting better and better and better in every rep. So the offensive line, yes, as Big D says, iron sharpens iron. And it's fun to see. So out there today, hung out with a bunch of fans who were there, like walking around. And, you know, the fans are great because there's food trucks there. There's a new parking lot. Fans are realizing they could come. And they're just having a blast. I mean, the fans are really doing a nice job. And Pete Carroll's dead serious. He wants more fans there. Okay, as I say every day, the show started 20 minutes ago and no one's on hold. So that means two things to me. Either one, you don't believe you're invited to call, which I find that hard to believe. Or two, you're not ready as I'm tremendously ready. So I've been great for 20 minutes with energy and excitement. Now we wake you up and we get you involved with the Raider flagship station where they have millions of fans. Not that a million are listening now, but any fan around the country who's a Raider fan can tell us what they think. You can ask me what I think. And if I don't know the answer, I have a couple of guys today who are at practice with me, and maybe they can help us with that too. 702-365-9200. Also, we are going to Canton this week. We're leaving on Thursday. So I'm excited about that. I'm going to get into Baker Mayfield's rework contract, Cortland Sutton, his extension, Deion Sanders with his cancer diagnosis initially and what's happening and what's going to happen with Micah Parsons. I got a lot to get to today on that part of it. And Cranky Yankee, a Yankee fan, I'm pretty upset. Dodgers couldn't beat Bobby's Red Sox. Man, I thought Bobby's Red Sox were primed to get swept. Dodgers aren't very good. That's just the bottom line. Dodgers are not very good because they should be great. Yeah, everyone wants me to stand up and show my shirt, the compete shirt. Let me stand up. Oh, nice. Compete. Very nice. It's a Pete Carroll shirt they gave me. Pretty cool. It's a good shirt, man. Some good drip. People talking about the Beyonce show. She brought out Destiny's Child. She brought out her husband, Jay-Z. Last stop of the tour, everybody's talking about Queen Bee, Beyonce here in town, all that. The Wizard of Oz coming to Sphere. I didn't realize that they're bringing wind in for that, wind machines, tornado. It's like crazy. CBS This Morning did a feature on that, which is really cool. Yeah, and then I'm excited on Friday. So we're leaving Thursday. On Friday, I'm going to do a best of Eric Allen show. So we're going to be in Canton. I'll be off on Friday, but Bobby and I are working this week to give you like this big EA thing as I'm emceeing the party, which is my fourth party I've emceed for the Raiders at the Hall of Fame. Ken Stabler, Cliff Branch, Tom Flores, and my guy, Eric Allen. How amazing is that going to be? So I'll have hopefully some good stories to tell you about that. That's going to be really cool. Still time to get out there. If you want to get out there for Eric Allen, I think you can, and get out there. And it's not going to be... It should be a nice, nice program with only four guys getting in. Also, I want to remind everybody that Brent Musburger is getting into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in the media section, and he was the voice of the Raiders for a couple of years and was very kind to me. Wow. What Brent Musburger did for me in the short time that I got to know him, from London to having dinner with him to knowing him, wow, he really touched my life in a big way. Gangster Raiders. Us off today on the first day of pads at practice. Go ahead.
Hey, what's happening? Congratulations to Eric Davis. And do you know if he's going in as a Raider or the Eagle?
That would be Eric Allen, and no one goes in as anybody. They go in individually. Baseball, you go in with a hat. Ichiro goes in as a Mariner. Jeter goes in as a Yankee. In football, you don't go in as an Eagle or a Raider. You just go in.
Okay, cool. Well, how was it with the pads today? I know I saw a little bit of the footage that Q&M had put out on the media, and I saw seemed like Genty was doing his thing. But how was Trey Tucker looking in the offensive line, and what did the part that I saw, the defensive line never didn't have no helmets on. Did the defensive line ever put their helmets on, and who shined? And also, did the you know how to Raiders used to let you tailgate all day during the game at the parking lot. Do they still not let you tailgate? They used to make you leave in Vegas. Do you know if they let you tailgate through the whole game now? Or because I heard they were supposed to change that.
Yeah, I have no idea. Yeah. I can find out that for you, gangster. I don't know. Mostly people after they go into the game. But the people who don't go into the game, I don't know if they ask you to leave your parking spot. I don't know that. But now that they have bars set up, Whiskey Stadium and all that. And they're really putting on a little bit of an extra emphasis with tailgating this year. I know from the Black Hole and what they're doing, they're going to have that masquerade for season ticket holders. There's going to be some, I think, advanced and better tailgating coming up this year for the Raiders.
All right, one more question. Mm-hmm. And do you think Brock Bowers and Myers are going to be on the field together mostly, or do you think it's going to be 11 mostly this year, in your opinion?
Thanks for the call. They're going to do a lot of 12 personnel, I think, with Brock and Michael Mayer together. I've said this. I don't know anybody who said it more on the show than me, that if you're going to keep Michael Mayer on this team, get him the football or let him go. Let him go somewhere else. If you're going to put Michael Mayer on this team, make sure he touches the football. And Ashton Jeanty had a run today for about, you know, again, they're not tackling to the ground, but they were in pads. Literally, he had a run that he broke for about 17 yards before anybody came over. He was shot out of a cannon. Tyree Wilson, I'm watching a lot. Adam Butler a lot. Max, Malcolm Kuntz. The defensive line looks good, but today I studied more of the offensive line and who was out there on the offensive line, which I thought did a nice job holding up compared to last year. And Trey Tucker seems to catch a big, deep ball whenever I'm at practice. I love him inside the 20s when you're running a deep route the other way, because Deontay, the new wide receiver out of Tennessee, Dante's unbelievable. I think he's going to be the really big surprise along with Jack Besh. Lance in Huntington Beach. What's going on, Lance?
Not much. I just wanted to make a comment on this whole Christian Wilkins thing, but more of a big picture. I just think the salary cap is getting so big now that administrations, whoever is running this team, whether it's Spytek, Telesco, the McDaniels era, Mayock, everybody kind of comes in and lets players walk that are drafted at this team that are their impact players and they're gamers. Josh Jacobs, Nate Hobbs, Robert Spillane, Trayvon Merrig, other guys in the past.
Well, hold on. Let's stop for a second. Let's stop for a second. Hobbs, Trayvon Merrig, especially if you look at some of the players that you just mentioned, they didn't let him walk. Trayvon Merrig got such an overpriced deal, and Spillane 10 minutes into free agency, they didn't match it. Now, if you're saying that's letting them walk when they get over the market price for them to leave, I would disagree. I think there's certain players they have a price on, and if they don't want to pay overpriced for them, they're going to let them go. I don't think they're asking him to leave. They're just not going to go beyond a certain amount when it comes to money.
Well, you know, that I just expect more from my GM. I expect them to get the deal done when it's more beneficial to the team. I could look at those players play. I mean, Nate Hobbs has games, like plays where he's won games.
Come on, man. He's not available. He's hurt all the time. Nate Hobbs is a one-dimensional. He's a one-dimensional corner who plays on the inside in the slot and can't play outside corner enough to start in this league. And he's more of a – I like Nate. He made some plays from time to time, and he missed a lot of games. I think what I'd like you to say, Lance, is this is John Spytek's team now, and he didn't draft the other guys beforehand. Who do you think that John Spytek should have – or Nate Hobbs guy? I'm not. I was never a Nate Hobbs guy. He went to Illinois where my wife went to school. I liked him. I liked him when he came to the Raiders, and I think he flashed. He's a flash player. He's not a 17-game player. He's just not. And I like cornerback. Let me tell you, not everybody can be Eric Allen, and nobody can be Rod Woodson. But Rod Woodson, you can move to corner, safety, slot corner, and line him up in the box. Jeremy Chinn, you can line him up in the box. He could play safety. And if you ask Jeremy Chinn to play corner, he could. Nate Hobbs couldn't. Nate Hobbs did not distinguish himself. I always said this about Nate Hobbs, who I said if Nate Hobbs was really good, he could play corner. Not slot. Forget about slot. Can you play cornerback in the NFL if you're a cornerback? Nate Hobbs could not play cornerback. Now, we're going to see if Jacorian Bennett can play cornerback, which means you don't take him off the field, And then Darian Porter, who came in, the converted wide receiver, who looks good, really good. He let an interception went right through his hands today. It was a high ball to Trey Tucker. It was right to him. It went through his hands. I wish he would have caught it. Everyone would have exploded. Can he stay on the field? If you're a cornerback, don't tell me about your slot corner. Tell me you can play corner like Mike Haynes, Willie Brown, Lester Hayes, and then we'll move you to the slot or whatever. But if you're a slot corner or, you know, you come in and nickel and you just can play in the slot and you can't play corner in case of an emergency, then you're not a corner that's deserving all this money. That's just the way I look at it. 702-365-9200. Got a lot of news today to get to from the first day in pads. We are brought to you by Raising Cane's. One love. You know, Raising Cane's loves my Live Read. You know why, Bobby? Because they know I go there. They know my sons are Caniacs. They know that JT the Brick loves Cane's. Because they're the best chicken fingers in town, and we go all the time. And we tell you about Raising Cane's.
Yeah, I was taught a long time ago that you either have a philosophy or you don't, and we have one. But the philosophy is affected by the people, you know, and how they adapt to it and how they make it come to life and all that. And that's what this process, so my challenge, biggest challenge is to give them the ways that we believe we can play our football, but then let it become theirs. And so it's really a fun challenge, and it's why I'm so charged up. And I've been a little bit fired up since I've been here. I know that. I know you might have seen that or not. But each practice is an opportunity for us. Each day is a statement of who we are, what we're all about. Are we there again? Are we consistent? Are we battling? And so it's a coach's dream to have an opportunity like this, really. And so the fellas are responding in a way that's making it really fun. And you know, we're going to get pads a couple days from now. We'll really start to bring it.
All right, JT, that's Pete Carroll. As we continue on, JT back with you. We're brought to you by Grimaldi's, hands down my favorite pizza in Vegas. You can get the famous New York-style coal-fired brick oven pizza. Grimaldi's is now serving slices on weekdays for lunch. I believe I should get some credit for that. Always like a pizza establishment that sells slices. Summerlin at Boca Park on the Strip, Grand Canal Shops, Southwest Las Vegas on South Rainbow, and Green Valley. As you're climbing Eastern, you can see it there on the right, and they're a great partner, the $50 gift cards. We love giving away to passionate listeners. Mark Anderson joins us from the AP, the great insider that we have on our team, and good seeing you at practice today. What'd you think of pads? Your first Pete Carroll practice in pads, Mark. Did you notice anything different?
It's what you expected. The players are fired up. You know, they've been fired up all along anyway. I think his energy is just rubs off on them. And I just love watching him bounce around. But everything's running so organized. One thing I noticed about Chris, the practices are they're mm-hmm. in and out of plays really fast. Each period's done right on time. Mm-hmm. You're not having things drag out. You can tell that's being punctual is really important to him.
Yes, I would agree. I think the offense is getting in and out of the huddle. Then they're running a much cleaner offense on the offensive side of the ball where, you know, you and I last year saw what Max Crosby did to practice. And even though Max is the dominant player out there, it seems to be smoother. Genty looked good today. He had a big run right in front of you and I that we saw today. Do your eyes tell you a story on Genty now from Boise State to the pros where he hits the hole with young legs and fresh legs? This guy could take it to the house.
Yeah, he had this one run in one of the team periods where he looked like he was stopped for maybe a couple yard gain or something like that. And I know that they're not doing, you know, serious tackle, but at the same time, I think with him, they're also wanting to make sure he earns it. And it looked like he was had no chance. But next thing you know, he's using the angles he uses and using his height and strength to his advantages. And he found a way to pop through there and get a nice gain out of it. And I think that's the kind of run you saw him make at Boise State a lot. And we got a glimpse of that out of practice today. And I don't want to read too much into in practice, but we've seen all along now, going back to OTAs and minicamp, that his footwork is just phenomenal. is as good as it gets, and that stuff translates. And I think he's going to do a lot of great things this season.
Mark Anderson's our guest. I like to see the activity around Michael Mayer. They seem to always in the team drills, and when they go 11-on-11, he's getting the ball early. I'm getting that impression that they want to keep him engaged in this camp, and he's getting a pass underneath. He's getting to touch the ball, which I think is imperative to keeping him engaged with this team, with Brock Bowers going to get all the touches that Brock deserves to get.
Yeah, and I mean, they traded up to get him for a reason. He's still got the talent to be one of the top tight ends in the league. And it's obviously easy to get overlooked. And he's gone through some bad breaks the past couple of years. He missed all that time last season for something happening in his personal life. And that's tough to get back from that, and especially when Bowers is having the season he was having, and really reassert yourself. So he's getting a fresh start with this new coaching staff. I think they see the talent he has. I also like what Ian Thomas has done a lot. I can see them using all three tight ends this season and using them effectively, because you don't want to put it all on Bowers. And so I really like their tight end room.
Mark Anderson from the AP. So you're in the locker room more than I am, but when it comes to Schefter's reporting that Wilkins might have kissed a teammate on the head in a playful gesture, and that could have been the reason involved with his release, and it's a legal matter and a grievance, as we know, going forward. I don't care to comment much on this, but when you're around your peers, I was with you today, Deshaun Reed, Paul Gutierrez, Vinny, a lot of guys today. No one mentioned Christian Wilkins today. It's like he's came, he's gone. That story's in the past. Do you think there's more to it? Are you looking into the story deeper?
I guess it depends how the grievance goes. To me, that's the next step of this. You know, the Raiders obviously taking a big chance in trying to avoid his contract. I don't know that they're going to be able to do that. That's, you know, they're going to have to provide documentation and witnesses and all sorts of things that was necessary to do. And that's a high bar to reach, and it should be. You know, I actually have a little bit of experience around Rick Wilkins when he was at Clemson, because I was presenting the Nagurski Award for the best defensive player, and he was one of the finalists. Mm-hmm. So I got to spend a couple of days around him, and he was a big jokester. He was the biggest jokester of all the finalists there, and big personality. I can see I don't know what happened in the locker room. I can see him having fun with something and it being taken the wrong way. You know, so I can see that completely happening. And so, but again, I don't really know what happened. I mean, when these things happen, all sorts of rumors get spread, and you know, it's hard to really know what happened. And if there anything happened to the locker room, it may not have anything to do with what the Raiders did anyway. You know, they may already have their minds made up. So it's just hard to know.
Mark, after the padded practice, what do you expect to see the rest of the week for this team? I mean, we got a week and a half until the preseason game up in Seattle, but as we see more padded practices, do you think Pete's going to ramp it up and there'll be more physicality than today? I think there was a lot of physical play in the drills overall, but, you know, there were no struggles, punches, no players really getting after each other, unless I missed something. I expect the physical practices to get heated up here in a little bit.
Yeah, it wasn't as physical as I thought it'd be. And I kind of wonder if that was by design, if maybe they're trying to get to that point. I do think the energy was great. I didn't have any problem with that. I think to find it's very interesting. There's really not a lot of happening as far as position battles. I think they came out of OTAs and minicamp basically knowing what their starting lineup is. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you could have changes here and there. We saw Jordan Meredith practice in a couple of days as starting center, but I still think that that's JPJ's job. You know, you still have the rookie Porter, and you got Stokes at corners, and you know, I can see some push there, but you know, both players have held on to those positions. So I don't know, unless you have injuries, I just don't know there's going to be a lot of news as far as position battles, and that to me is very interesting, because that's different from what we've seen.
Yeah, I want to end on that. The position battles at corner, I would think that Jacorian Bennett's the lead to have one of the corner positions. What they do on the other side will be interesting. And I'm not reading into much with Meredith and JPJ, but you never know. I mean, this is the essence of what Pete Carroll does. If he sees something on film, or if he sees Meredith just having a better practice than JPJ and wants to give him first-team reps, I get that. But I don't see JPJ losing that. He's a pure center in the history of the Raiders, center history. He seems to be the next one anointed who could potentially be great. And if he has a challenge with competition, I expect that through Pete Carroll. That's what he's done on every stop in his career.
Yeah, and you know, it's in the first week of practice, why not try things? You know, if Meredith is showing up on video looking like he's doing well, why not give him a chance to go out there and see what he can do? Because, you know, JPJ's had an injury history, too, in a short time here. So you can't assume he's going to start all 17 games. So I think you better be ready at that position, especially. So, and I, you know, DeCorian Bennett, I saw him in the final team practice session today. He was, they actually had him third team. I don't know. I just, I really like him. I thought he was playing really well before he got hurt last season. I thought he had every chance to be a starter this season, but I think Pete Carroll just loves those really tall, long DBs, and that's not DeCorian Bennett. So I think he has a lot to overcome, and I do think he's a really good player, and I would like to see him get more of a chance, but we'll see. I mean, it seems like other guys are kind of getting more of a favorable deal. And that's probably not the right words to say, but you know, they're getting more advantages at this point.
Yep, I see it that way too. It's going to be fun to watch as this plays out. Thanks, Mark. See you out there tomorrow.
Sounds good, JT. Thanks for having me on.
You got it, Mark Anderson. Big part of our new revamped Insiders Grid, which he does not move. Mark on Mondays. He's super sharp. He writes for the AP, been in this town forever, knows the story. And he just told you about those position battles. DeCorian Bennett is not long. He's not tall. Could that put his position in jeopardy? I don't think so. I think he's our starter. I think he's the guy. But Pete Carroll's expertise is the corner position. And if he thinks, no, I got a longer guy with experience, and he's going to be better, I'm going to put him in there. Pete's going to do that, along with Patrick Graham. We have the Patrick Graham press conference. We're going to play it from yesterday because you weren't listening yesterday. I wasn't listening yesterday. And this is the flagship, and I'd like to hear it from my prep. So we'll get to that next hour in the show. Dan Graziano from ESPN will join us. I keep telling you, and we're this close, if you can see my fingers, La Casa Cigars and Lounge at Tivoli Village. Proud, proud sponsor of our show. What a great partner. They got their big announcement coming any day, any minute on the reopening of La Casa. Can't wait for that because I got to go get some cigars for Canton. Oh, yeah. I know Mike wants me to have cigars at the Eric Allen party, and I got to have a few. Yeah. So we got to get some La Casa cigars to head on out there. La Casa Cigars and Lounge at Tivoli Village and online at lacasacigars.com. They got a great Instagram page, too. So you can see everything and especially the grand reopening coming up.
Feeling great. You know, the body's adjusting to the training camp life, especially being out here. You know, it's something that I'm not quite used to, but I sort of am, you know, being in Miami for the past 3 years. So the heat's not so much the problem. It's getting my breath in the altitude. That's the big thing. So it's been fun, though.
Raheem Mostert, going to be a nice secondary running back with explosive ability. JT, back with you. Our most influential draft pick alumni today is Dave Dalby, one of the greatest Raiders of all time, played at the center position his entire 14-year career with the Oakland LA Raiders of the NFL, played college football for the UCLA Bruins. He was a guy who was a star lineman, center, and defensive end. He did it all. Al Davis drafted him in 1972 in the fourth round. The 100th pick overall. He is a three-time Super Bowl champ, a Pro Bowler, and Dalby being the 100th pick by the Raiders and playing 14 seasons, he did not miss a single game. In his fourth year in 1975, he replaced the legendary Hall of Famer, Pops Jim Otto, as the starting center. How hard do you think that would be? Replacing Jim Otto, arguably the greatest center of all time. He became only the second starting center in franchise history, as Otto had started since the team began in 1960. For the next decade, Dalby was part of the offensive line, which won three Super Bowls, Super Bowl 11, 15, and 18. During that 1975-1985 window, the Raiders reached the playoffs eight times. And during his 11 seasons as a starter, he played next to Gene Upshaw, a Hall of Famer, and some of the great offensive linemen, Mickey Marvin, George Buehler. He was fantastic. The Pro Bowl in 1977. After his retirement, he was replaced by Don Mosbar, who had a long career with the Raiders. He was a brilliant football player. I never met him. I didn't know Dave Dalby well. And every time I heard about Dave Dalby from his teammates and everybody who talked about him and how much, you know, when I see him, when I talk about him, because I don't see him around, but when I started with the team as much, but when I talk to people, and this guy, when he passed away, you know, I was with the team 98, and he passed in 2002. I don't recall meeting him, but I recall so many fans talking to me about him and asking about him, and the alumni that I ask about him to get up to speed on him talk about how tough he was, durable, and one of the greatest teammates in Raiders history. Dave Dalby, 1972, fourth round, the 100th pick, one of the all-time great Raiders. And he deserves a lot of credit today. If you remember him, you're one of the fans that remember Dave Dalby playing. We give him a day today because of his impact as a 100th pick overall and winning three Super Bowls. Easily another guy who could be in my top 10. I think there were some greater players, Hall of Famers, but a lot of people thought that this was an underrated guy, really underrated guy who anchored the offensive line after Jim Otto. How hard is that to do? Imagine replacing Jim Otto. It's like replacing Willie Mays and Lou Gehrig. How do you do that? He was able to do it at the highest level. Another hour coming up. Dan Graziano from ESPN joins us next.